Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed to according to his wisdom. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and He has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about Allah's mercy in the life of the Prophet, and the title of the class is Allah is with you, you are never alone. Today we will learn about an event in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which was the turning point in his life, and actually it was the turning point in the history of Islam and the whole world. But at the beginning, sisters, we must all agree that there are some difficulties and circumstances that beset individuals and communities, and which, if allowed to run their course, would cause their total destruction. But then Allah administrates just a small touch of His mercy to bring about life instead of death and happiness instead of misery. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that before learning about that event in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we must all agree that this life is a test, and we must be ready to face the difficulties and the hardships and the trials of the worldly life. This is part of the nature of the worldly life. But believing in Allah's mercy will always give us the hope that inshallah we can have an end to these trials and the hardships, and Allah, inshallah, can make it easy for us. So today we will learn about a great hardship which was faced by our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and we will learn how Allah saved him from that hardship, as we learned about Prophet Ibrahim and how Allah saved him from the hell, from the fire, and how Allah saved his son twice from this. Learning about Allah's mercy is the hope for every one of us that inshallah, there is an end for every trial and every hardship, and whenever the mercy of Allah touches our hearts, inshallah, we will be saved. So, today we will learn about that event, which is the migration of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina. Actually, at the beginning, we must remember that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was deeply attached to Mecca because it was the place where he was born in. He was born in Mecca, and he spent more than half a century of his life in Mecca. This is number one. Number two, in Mecca, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the small city where he was born in, where he lived half a century, where he married and had children. And also, he received the divine command to call mankind to worship Allah and to reject the idol worshipping. All this happened to him still in Mecca. Okay? But also in Mecca, we must know that, or we must remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the new Muslim, they faced the greatest hardships from the idol worshippers. But they had been sustained by Allah's repeated assurance of support. They tolerated the severest persecution with steadfastness. Actually, those new Muslims, whom they were mostly poor and slaves, they were actually facing the worst punishment in the history. The people of Mecca were totally against the message of Prophet Muhammad, which was calling to worship Allah and not to worship the idols. They were getting a lot of benefit by being taken care of the idols. Because before Islam, the tribes, the Arab tribes, they have the habit that once per year they will come to Mecca, all the tribes in the desert, they will all collect in Mecca once per year to worship the idols and to trade together. And the people of the tribe of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were the one taking care of all these activities. And they were getting a lot of benefit out of these activities. Accordingly, when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, called the mankind and all the Arab tribes to forget about worshipping idols, this means that they will lose their prestigious position. His tribe will lose its prestigious position regarding the other tribes, and they will lose the wealth which they always collect during the time of Hajj. It was also called the Hajj before Islam, coming to Mecca for trade and for idol to worship the idols. Okay, so those people, the big people of the tribe of Quraysh, the tribe of people of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were the ones totally against his message. They were trying to punish him for that message and to punish their slaves whom they believe, whom they accept the message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So actually Allah the Almighty commanded Prophet Muhammad and those new poor Muslims to migrate from Mecca to a new place where they could openly declare their Islam and worship Allah in peace. We will learn about this journey of migration because actually it is the reality of the mercy of Allah during hardships, which every one of us is always looking for during our worldly test which we are living every day. Okay? And I want you know, at the beginning, always to remember this migration of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina, because the journey of migration to Mecca to Medina, actually, it is the beginning of the Islamic calendar. Okay, the Islamic calendar started with this event. This is number one. And it is the unique history of, it is a unique event in the history of mankind, and actually it marks the beginning of the construction of the Islamic society in all aspects of life. So, the migration of Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina is number one, the beginning of the Islamic calendar, and number two, it is the beginning of the construction of the Islamic society in all aspects. Before the migration, there was no Islamic society. Okay, they were just poor slaves whom they were punished by those whom they owned them. Also, the migration is the message of hope in the mercy of Allah to all the Muslims. So today we will learn about this message of hope, and inshallah, we call on Allah the Almighty to shower us with His mercy as He showered Prophet Muhammad in this trip or in this migration. We will start the beginning of having a city called Al-Madina. You know, Al-Madina in English is the city of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It had a previous name which is called Yathrib. But when he migrated from Mecca to Yathrib, they changed its name. And the name became Medina, a city which is equal to the city of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay, all of this happened after he migrated from Mecca to Medina. So let us learn why he had to migrate from Mecca to Medina. Okay, in spite of the fact that I clarified that he loved Mecca, he loved to stay in Mecca, and he said that if my people didn't kick me out of Mecca, I will never leave Mecca. He left Mecca because his people kicked him out, okay, and treated him and the new Muslims in a very bad way. Accordingly, he had to migrate from Mecca to Medina. Now we will learn in details how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, decided and how he obeyed the command of Allah to leave the city which he loved to another place where he constructed the new Muslim society. Scene 1, actually, as the message of Islam was revealed in Mecca to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was always calling the Arab tribes whom they come to Mecca every year during the Hajj for trade and to meet the other tribes. As I clarified to you that before Islam, every year all the Arab tribes will meet together in Mecca. This is the place where Prophet Muhammad was born. Okay? They will meet together, they will trade, and they worship the idols. Okay? And then they will leave. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, decided to call all the Arab tribes during their annually meeting. They decided to call them to worship none but Allah and to forget about the idols. The minute Prophet Muhammad will call anyone to worship only Allah, his uncle, his name is Abu Lahab, okay, will immediately shout, "He is a liar, don't believe him." Okay, immediately. He was all the time walking, you know, very close to him. Prophet Muhammad will call, Abu Lahab immediately will say, "A liar, 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 don't listen to him, don't believe in him." Okay, and he would start throwing dust on the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, sister, this is, you know, a clarification of how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, suffered for the sake of the message of Allah the Almighty. He suffered so that inshallah we will be Muslims and we will follow the right path. This is why we must love him more than we love ourselves, because of what he tolerated for the sake of the message of Allah. This is, you know, just a small example of how his uncle was all the time giving him hard time, trying to send the people away from that message. Actually, it was that the tribes kept away from him, saying if he was calling for something good, his own people would not have left him. You know, if Islam is a good message, so why his uncle is, you know, following him, saying he is a liar, don't believe in him. This means that this message is not a good one. Okay? Scene number two, in a small city, which is close to Mecca, which was called at that time Yathrib, there were two tribes, okay? And these two tribes were worshipping the idols. In one of the Hajj occasions, which I am clarifying that it was annually, some people from Mecca, some people from Yathrib, actually in one of the Hajj events, two people came from Yathrib, okay, to Mecca. And they met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He invited them to Islam and he recited some verses from the Quran. They accepted Islam and agreed to meet him the next year, because they were coming every year. So these two people, these are the first two Muslims from Yathrib, whom they accepted Islam and promised Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to come next year to meet him. And actually, when these two men returned to Yathrib after meeting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and declaring their Islam, they began to invite their people to Islam until Islam spread among them. There was no household left from the Arabs of Yathrib where they would not find the news of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After 1 year, 12 people came. Instead of two, this time 12 people came and they met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they became Muslims, and actually they have a covenant with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They made a covenant and it is called the first covenant of Al-Aqaba. This is the first covenant. So the first covenant was between Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and 12 people from Yathrib. These 12 people returned again and they called their people to Islam. So the year after, 73 people came and two women. They came and met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have the covenant which is called the second covenant of Al-Aqaba. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I ask you for a covenant to protect me from what you protect me, to protect me from what you protect your own wife and children." And Prophet Muhammad extended his hand and they gave him a covenant to protect him if he immigrated to their land, and this is the second covenant. Actually, Islam spread more in this small city. And again, sister, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which every one of us is not aware of. Prophet Muhammad, in reality, is still living in Mecca, and he is struggling with his new Muslims against the punishment of his people. But at the same time, in Yathrib, in the other city, Allah the Almighty was preparing that place for him and his people. Allah's mercy was working in another place. This is how we must believe in Allah's mercy. Now I am living hardship here in Houston. But nobody knows what Allah, according or out of His mercy, is preparing for me in another place. I don't know. But believing in Allah's mercy will all the time give me the hope that there must be an end for this hardship. How? Why? When? Where? Nobody knows. But there must be, inshallah. Why? Because this is the rule of Allah's mercy for those whom they obey Allah and try to fulfill all their trusts according to His rules. So, in spite of the fact that the punishment was very severe in Mecca, the mercy was so great in Yathrib, and the people were becoming Muslims more and more. And actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day gathered those who believed in Islam and told them, Allah has indicated for you a place for shelter where you can be safe, and he commanded his companions to go out to Yathrib. This is again Allah's mercy. Allah the Almighty, after preparing the people of Yathrib to accept Islam and to accept those whom they will migrate or immigrate, okay, after preparing them in the best shape, then Allah commanded Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to call his people to leave Mecca quickly, okay, and to escape to Yathrib. Okay, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded them to go out to Yathrib, and they continued to leave their homes, okay, and to flee with their religion only. Again and again, sisters, try to imagine the situation. Okay, for the sake of their religion, they must leave everything. For example, if there is a new Muslim and his wife doesn't want to become a Muslim, he will leave his wife, he will leave his kids, he will leave his house, he will leave everything because he must escape. It was in the migration of the new Muslim from Mecca to Yathrib, it was in the form of escape. Because if the people of Mecca know that they are planning to leave, they will prevent them. So they always escaped at night. And if you escape, you are supposed not to take anything with you. You must leave everything. Okay? So this is the situation of those people whom they migrated from Mecca to Medina. They migrated escaping with one thing only. Their religion. Their faith. Their belief. This is to clarify how those new Muslims at that time were actually the true believers. They were the sincere believers. They never think twice before escaping from Mecca to Medina. Okay, they were so happy that they will escape the punishment of the people of Mecca and they will escape with their religion. They forgot completely about the materialistic issues of the worldly life. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally waited for Allah's permission for his immigration. His closest companion Abu Bakr came to him asking for permission to leave, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him not to be hasty and to wait, for Allah might provide him with a companion. Okay, Abu Bakr was planning to leave, but Prophet Muhammad told him, hold on, because actually it was the decree of Allah that Abu Bakr will accompany Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his journey. Actually, after most of the Muslims had immigrated. None were left except Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Ali ibn Abi. Who is Ali? Ali actually is the Prophet Muhammad is the uncle of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali is the son of his uncle. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has an uncle called Abu Talib. And he has another uncle who was running after him with the dust. Okay? He has many uncles. One of them, you know, was running with him after the dust. The other uncle, he was the one taking care of him, but he was not a believer. He refused to believe. Okay? But he was taking care of him, Abu Talib. Yes. The son of Abu Talib is Ali. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he is actually number 4 Khalifa of the Muslims, and Ali ibn Abi Talib is the husband of Fatima, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Okay, Ali was still, a teenager. Okay, so in Medina, in Mecca, there were Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Abu Bakr, and Ali. Okay, he is the first teenager to believe in Islam. Okay, Abu Bakr is the first man, and Ali ibn Abi Talib is the first young man to believe in Islam. Those three were still in Mecca, and the very poor, weak Muslims whom they can't immigrate, or they were prevented by their masters. They prevented some of them, to leave. So actually, the leaders of the tribe of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Quraysh, they came to know about the migration of the companions of the Prophet, and they were very angry. Why they were very angry? Because they feared that the Prophet might go and join his companions, then after they grow stronger, he might come back to fight them. Okay? Still all is materialistic, the worldly life. So, the leaders of Quraysh, they decided among themselves to take a young man from each tribe and to give him a sword. Then, those young men would go to the Prophet and kill him. Okay? They decided to kill him before migration to Medina, to Yathrib. Why they want to kill him? Because they feared that he will return back and fight them. So how they can kill him, okay, without being blamed for his killing? Because Prophet Muhammad was from the best tribe, okay? What they were supposed to do? Because the problem with the Arab tribes is that, if you kill my son, I must kill your son. If you kill my father, I must kill your father. So they were worried who will be the one to kill Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or Muhammad ibn Abd al-Muttalib, so that someone will be killed instead. So they decided that they will collect from every tribe a young man. And they will give to every young man a sword. Then all of them, they will give to Prophet Muhammad a single blow, okay, to kill him. The blame of shedding his blood will be scattered among all the tribes. They all killed him, so we cannot kill anyone instead of him, okay? They were afraid that if any person killed the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet tribes and his family would fight the tribe of the killer. This was the custom of the Arabs to take revenge from both the killer and his tribe. Okay, then they agreed to kill him, and during the night time, Allah the Almighty protected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sent to him Angel Jibril to tell him that he must not spend the night in his bed, because they will come and kill him. Okay, so when the night came, the same uncle who was throwing, the dust, and the men who planned to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gathered around his house. Okay, all of them, they gathered around the house of the Prophet. And actually, when, sisters, again and again, I don't want you to know the story, as an event. I want you to know the story in the form of Allah's mercy. Okay, try to think it over that we are sitting in that masjid, for example, and a lot of people are gathering outside from all the sides of the masjids. Now we are in they are out. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, was in, and all these young men were out, okay, waiting for the minute to kill him. Okay, and he is still in, he and Ali, the young man. So he said to Ali, Ali, stay in my bed and don't worry, you will not be killed. Okay, and we as Muslims, we must always remember this event for, Ali radiallahu anhu, because he agreed to sleep in the bed of the Prophet while he knew already that they are all around the house and they will try to kill him. But he agreed, and he obeyed the command of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now the problem, how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will come out of his house while those people are all around the house. You see, sister, this is again, try to compare this with any hardship you have it in your life. You are in the middle of hardship, you don't see any light, you don't see any outlet, you don't see any hope, but you believe that there will be a hope. How, where, when? This is not your business. This is the business of Allah, Subhanahu, the Almighty. This is how we believe in Allah. We believe in Allah when you always believe that I am not the one to take the decisions, I am not the one to send the mercy, I am not the one to give the outlet, okay? But I am the one who is supposed to believe in Allah, the one who can do all of this. He can do all of this. I can't do anything. So I am not supposed to think it over. I am not supposed to be worried or upset or have fear. Why? Because I will not do anything. This is clarified in the event which will happen now, how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will leave his house. Okay? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he started to recite a verse of the Quran from Surah Yasin. I will mention it. According to the command of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, started to recite verse number 9 from Surah Yasin. Okay, we will read now this verse. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim,
36. 36:9. And we have put a barrier before them and a barrier behind them, and we have covered them up so that they cannot see.
So actually the meaning of this verse of the Quran is that Allah is said, and we is Allah the Almighty. Okay, Allah have put a barrier before them and a barrier behind them, and we have covered them up so that they cannot see. This is what happened exactly the minute Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, opened the door. Again, sister, this is exactly what happened. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, opened the door and walked out. Allah made his enemies blind. Okay? As if they slept. Okay? He lost, consciousness. And for the few minutes, he has to leave the house. Okay, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed dust on their heads and faces and went to the house of Abu Bakr. So again and again, as we are learning about Allah's mercy, this is the forms of Allah's mercy which is taking place in our life. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, must leave his house. But the enemies are all around the house. So what is the solution? According to our, thinking, or according to how we can imagine, it is impossible. Okay? But regarding Allah, there is nothing called impossible. Okay? When Allah decided a thing, it is just to say be, and it will be. And this what happened. Allah said be. What is be? They must lose consciousness. Okay? How? Let Prophet Muhammad recite this verse of the Quran. Okay, and then he threw the dust, okay, on their faces and on their heads. Why he threw the dust? So that they will be under the impression that it is the dust which made them blind. But it is not the dust. It is the mercy of Allah. Okay, but Allah is always giving us materialistic issues so that we can accept the reality. Okay, this is what will happen now. A man came and saw those people whom they were waiting to kill Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He asked them, what are you waiting for here? They replied, we are waiting for Muhammad. He then told them, you are not aware Muhammad is, peace be upon him, already went out. And he didn't leave a man among you except he had placed dust on his head. Do you not see what happened to you? They were not aware that they have dust on their heads. Okay? Everyone among them placed his hand over his hair to find dust all over his head. Then they looked and saw Ali sleeping on the bed. So they said, no. You know, they saw a body in the bed. So they said, no. Muhammad is still here. You see, this is Allah, the Almighty, sisters. Okay, subhanAllah. They said, no, Muhammad is sleeping. Okay, and we will keep waiting until the morning. We will not leave the house. Okay. Ali then came out of the Prophet's house towards them and they became very angry. In the morning, Ali walked out normally, so they became very angry and they went to search for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By that time, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, reached the house of Abu Bakr and they started their immigration journey to Al-Masjid. Yes, migration. Okay. Actually, the tribe of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were mad regarding what happened to them. Because it was all the tribes. Okay, so they were mad and they decided that they must find him and kill him before reaching Medina, the other city. Okay, they tracked the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr, and they followed these footprints until they had reached a cave. Okay, they sent people to follow the footsteps of the camels. Okay, and they noted that all these footprints, they stopped in front of a cave. So they realized that he must be inside. Okay. When they reached the cave, Abu Bakr, he heard the voices of the people. And he whispered to Prophet Muhammad, those people whom they are seeking us, they are so close. If any one of them looked down at their feet, they will see us. They become so close. So if they just look down, they will realize that Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr are there. At that moment, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, answered Abu Bakr with a verse of the Quran which is mentioned in Surah number 9, verse number 40. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 9, verse number 40. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
If you help him not, for Allah did indeed help him when the disbelievers drove him out, the second of the two. When they, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, were in the cave, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion, be not sad, surely Allah is with us. Then Allah sent down his Sakina upon him and strengthened him with forces which you saw not, and made the word of those who disbelieve the lowermost, while the word of Allah that became the uppermost, and Allah is the Almighty, All-Wise.
So actually, sisters, again and again, this is a message of hope to every believer. Okay, this is actually the goal of this story in the Quran, is that whenever you are upset, you are alone, you are lost, you are worried, okay, when you open the Quran, inshallah, it will be a source of cure for your spirit. How? Through these messages of hope. Okay, these two people were inside the cave and the enemies are so close, and if they kill Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the message of Islam will be lost. So it is a very big tragedy. Okay, but during this tragedy, Allah is sending for them the message, be not sad or afraid, surely Allah is with us. All the time, sisters, you must have this message of hope and assurance in Allah, the Almighty, the All-Powerful in your spirit. Be not sad or afraid from any human being, from any disaster, from any trial, from any hardship. Why I am not supposed to be sad or afraid? Because Allah is with you. Allah is with every one of us. Okay? The second your heart will feel that Allah is with you, immediately Allah's mercy will be showered to your heart. Immediately, as Allah said, Allah sent down His calmness, tranquility and peace. Again and again, sister, this is actually the reality of Allah's mercy. The second you send to Allah the message that, Allah, I am not afraid, I am not worried because of you only, oh Allah. Okay? Because of you, because of my belief in your power, I am not afraid of anything, of poverty, of illness, of loneliness, of anything in this life. I am not afraid because of you. In the same second, sisters, Allah the Almighty will send down the calmness, tranquility and peace upon you, and Allah will strengthen you with forces which you saw not. This is the reality of our worldly life, sisters, okay? Which is mentioned in the story of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and last week it was mentioned in the story of Prophet Ibrahim, and it is the reality in the life of every true believer. Your duty towards yourself is not to find, the solutions for the problems. No, the solutions of the problem is Allah's business. Okay? But your business is to believe that Allah can make for me an outlet. To have this belief deep inside your spirit. Allah, inshallah, out of His mercy and power and out of my obedience to Him, He will find for me an outlet, I am sure. The minute you send this message to Allah, the minute Allah will send for you the reassurance, and it is the same minute that Allah is planning for you an outlet, which you never think of, which you never expect or imagine. Okay? So this is the message of hope which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioned to Abu Bakr, who was so worried. So the question is, what are the forces which Allah strengthened both of them with? Actually, when one of the search team, okay, came very close to the cave, okay, he turned around the cave, okay, and then he said to the rest of the team, I don't think that anyone is inside that cave. Okay, so they asked him why. He said, because I saw a spider web which is so old, maybe before Muhammad's birth. You see, sisters, this is Allah's mercy. Allah the Almighty will not allow those people to get in the cave. Because if they get inside the cave, they will have Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. How to stop them from entering the cave while they are in front of the cave? Okay, Allah the Almighty sent the spider web, okay, or made the spider web so that they will look and say, what is this? Must be here for a long time. Because if there is a spider web, none can enter the cave. You see? So they said that spider web is so long time. Maybe before the birth of Muhammad, he is not there. And also Allah sent a dove which was nesting with her mate. So the man said, this means that, you know, none enter that cave, you know, for some time. Otherwise, the spider web would not have been completed and the dove would not have nested there. Okay? So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hided in the cave with Abu Bakr for 3 days until those search team left the cave. But still, this is not the end of the journey. Okay, sisters? The leaders of Quraysh again announced a big prize for the one who would kill or capture Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Again and again, those people whom they are after, the materialistic, issues, they never, stop making trials. Okay? They decided again a big prize for the one who can capture Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Actually, a man called Suraqa, he was so insistent on winning the prize. He wanted to have the prize. So he rode his horse and started running in the direction of the Prophet. And when he came very close to Prophet Muhammad, again, you know, sisters, Allah in this journey from Mecca to Medina is clarifying that it is always that the hardship will become so tough to the extent that up to our thinking, there is no solution. You know, this is how Allah is sending for us the message. Okay? For any hardship, it must be very tough until the true believer will say, "Oh Allah, I am in need of your help. I am sure it will come." And those whom they are weak in their belief, they will say, "We lose hope in everything. It became very difficult. There is no hope at all." You know, this is how Allah is judging our belief, through the hardship and through the top of the hardship. Okay? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he escaped, you know, to be being killed while he was in his bed. Then in the cave, he escaped in spite of the fact that the people were standing inside of the cave. Still, this is not the end of the hardship. Okay? Another man will come very close to them. So, what is the solution now? Where is Allah's mercy? How Allah's mercy will save them? Okay? That man, when he came very close to them, he fell off his horse. He then stood up and mounted his horse and started following them again. However, his horse sank into the dust and he again fell off. You know, Allah the Almighty sent the command to the horse, so that the horse will be throwing that man every time. Okay? So that the man will feel that there is something strange. What is going on? Every time I am up, I am down. I am up, I am down. You know? So he starts to feel the fear in his heart. This is Allah. This is why Allah, when he plans the victory, nobody will think how it will come and how it will happen. Okay, sister, this is actually the story of the migration. We repeat it every year. But every time you listen to the story, the hope in Allah's mercy is again clear in our spirits. Okay, every time we repeat the story, we are in need of this repetition. Why? Because of the hardships around us and because of our weak belief in Allah. We need to strengthen our belief in Allah when we listen to the stories of Allah's mercy. This time it is the horse. This is one of the forces which Allah sent to Prophet Muhammad to help him to reach Yathrib. Okay? The horse was all the time throwing that man. Until that man realized that there is something abnormal. So he actually he approached Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he asked him to write him a safety pledge. In spite of the fact he approached Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he forget completely about the prize, because now he realized that he is not in a safe situation. There is something going on with the horse. There is another power working, you know, against him. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, commanded the guides to write him the pledge. So that man returned to Mecca, and whoever he would meet, okay, he will tell them, be away from the Prophet. You see, he did the opposite job. He was supposed, you know, to catch Prophet Muhammad, okay, but he did the opposite. He went back and he mentioned to everyone, don't try to reach that man. Okay, this is, you know, again and again, sisters, you know, how Allah is strengthening, you know, the belief in His mercy and in His power and His unity and His oneness, Allah the Almighty. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, continued his trip to Yathrib, and actually he reached it peacefully. And this is the journey of mercy of Allah, which was accompanying Prophet Muhammad in every moment and in every step. We all believers need to reflect on the mercy of Allah during this immigration or migration journey of Prophet Muhammad and peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sincere companion Abu Bakr, so that it will lighten our spirits with the hope and trust in Allah's mercy during every difficult trial and hardship in our life. Okay? Now, sisters, I will again discuss with you this journey from the while we are looking for Allah's mercy, how we can find Allah's mercy in this journey. In summary, while the Muslims in Mecca were mostly poor slaves who were treated badly by the ruling leaders of the tribes, Allah, out of His mercy, sent the people from Yathrib, the other city, to support Islam and to open a way for those weak Muslims to construct a Muslim society. It was that their hearts were touched by the Quran and the rules of Islam, and they invited Prophet Muhammad to migrate to their city. It is the mercy of Allah to send the angel Jibril to inform Prophet Muhammad about the plot of his people, that is to say, to kill him, and Jibril commanded him not to sleep in the bed on that night. It is Allah's mercy to allow Prophet Muhammad to go out of his home while those enemies were surrounding it. It is the barrier before them and after them and over them that he threw the dust over their faces and the heads and recited the verses of the Quran so that they became blind. During the physical immigration, it was Allah's mercy to send down the tranquility to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the trust that Allah will be with them and they will reach Yathrib in a safe way or safely. Also, it was the mercy of Allah the Almighty to protect Prophet Muhammad during that trip. Now, sisters, let us all believe in that rule. Whatever do you think of a person when Allah is with him? Okay? Prophet Muhammad said to Abu Bakr, what do you think of two people whom Allah is number three? So the message of this class is that when you are alone, when you feel that you don't have any power, when you are in need of anything in this life, say to yourself, myself, I am not alone. Allah is with me. I am never alone. All the power is with me. All the trust is with me. All the mercy is with me. All the wisdom is with me. The Almighty is with me. I am never alone. This is the rule which we learn from the immigration or migration of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said to Abu Bakr, what do you think of two? Allah is number three with them. So when I am alone, I am never alone. Allah is always with me. The second you feel in reality that Allah is with you, sister, you will feel tranquility in your spirit. And you will feel that I must not think of the problem at all. I must not be worried. Okay? And if someone will ask you how you are not worried while you are in the middle of this severe hardship, tell her, sister, I am not alone in the hardship. Allah the Almighty is with me. Allah the Almighty is taking care of everything. And I am sure of Allah's mercy. I am sure that Allah is preparing for me an outlet, which I never know or think of or can make. But Allah is preparing for me the outlet, and inshallah it will come soon. Your spirit and every spirit nowadays is in need of this medicine, because most of the human beings are upset, worried, they have depression, they are sad, they are lonely, they have antidepressant, but still the antidepressant is not working with them. Why, sisters? Because our hearts is in the hands of Allah. Okay, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, the hearts of all the mankind is between two fingers of Allah, and Allah is moving them in any direction. Okay? So long my heart is in the hands of Allah, so Allah can send tranquility to my heart. Allah can send calmness to my heart. Allah can send patience to my heart. Allah can send acceptance to my heart. Okay? And again, sisters, if you have a hardship, okay, try to ask yourself a question. Why I am not accepting that hardship? If you accept the hardship, it will not be a hardship. The second you accept it, it is from Allah, and Allah is the most merciful, and Allah will take care of it. So, oh Allah, I am accepting. The most important for any hardship to have an end is to accept. Once you accept it, it is no more a hardship. It is a reality. Okay? And so long it is a reality, Allah is there. I am not alone. Oh Allah, I leave it for you to take care of it. Then try to be busy with anything positive in your life. Stop thinking of the hardship. Okay? Leave it to Allah. You accepted it already. Okay? This is the most difficult to accept. Okay? After accepting the hardship, okay, be busy with anything else other than that hardship. And when the hardship will come to your mind, okay, tell to yourself, Allah is trying to help me by all the means. I don't know this, but I am sure He is working. Allah is working. Allah's mercy is doing a lot for me now, which I don't know. So I will not think of the hardship. I leave it to Allah. I will try to be busy with my daily activities as I can. Inshallah, the time will pass. This is the most important enemy for the human being, is the time during the hardships. Okay? When we are having hardships, we feel that the day is 100 hours. Okay? And we feel that the hour is a day. Too so long. Okay, the time of the hardships is always so long. And the time of the, you know, the ease is always too short. Okay, this is, you know, subhanAllah, this is the wisdom, Allah's wisdom. Because life is a test. So whenever you have hardship, okay, always remember your enemy. Your enemy is the time factor. Okay, so try to win on that enemy. How I can win? I will forget completely because Allah is working for my sake. That's it. Then I close my mind, then I start to be busy. Believe me, sisters, this is the only way for the hard or the tough days of the hardship. Okay, otherwise, you know, the enemy, which is the time, the days, the months of the hardship, okay, can cause a lot of destruction for your health, for your spirit, for your family, for your everything. Okay, so try all the time to send the message of assurance and support and help your spirit. Allah is working. I don't know, but He is working. His mercy is taking place. Inshallah, I will know it one day. Now, as for now, I am living. I will try to live. Okay? And forget it. Now I will tell you a story which is called Be a Lake. Okay? And I hope that inshallah you will be a lake and you will not be a cup. Rahman Rahim. The old master instructed the unhappy young man to put a handful of dust in a glass of water and then to drink it. So, how does it taste? The master asked. Awful. The master then asked the young man to take another handful of dust and to put it in the lake. The two walked in silence to the nearby lake, and when the young man swirled his hand of dust into the lake, the old man said, "Now drink from the lake." As the water dripped down the young man's chin, the master asked, "How does it taste?" "Good," remarked the young man. "Do you taste the salt?" asked the master. "No," said the young man. The master sat beside this troubled young man, took his hands and said, "The bane of life is pure salt, no more or less. The amount of pain in life remains the same, exactly the same. But the amount we taste the pain depends on the container we put it on." I will clarify to you if it is not true. So when you are in pain, the only thing you can do is to enlarge your sense of things. Stop being a glass, instead be a lake. Be a lake means try to dissolve your handful of pain in the great mercy of Allah, which is the water of the lake. Diluting our problems with salt can be very easy when we try to minimize its effect by dissolving it in the great bounty of Allah, the water of the lake. Being overwhelmed by your pain through making it to occupy your narrow spirit will only harm you, but it will be still pain. But the true believer in Allah's mercy, which is all good, will dilute his pain in his wide, thankful spirit, so it will not cause him any harm ever. He will forget about it and become the winner of the reward of Allah. What is the meaning of this, sister, in practice? The meaning of this, sister, is that if I have a cup of, you know, a cup of water, and I have a big spoon of salt, and I put it in the cup of water, then I taste it, it will be very salty. But if I have this big spoon of salt and I throw it in the lake, which is a very big amount of water, okay, then I try to taste it, it will not make any difference for the taste of the water in the lake. So in both situations, okay, our pain is equal to a spoon of salt. Okay? We can have that pain and put it in a very small glass. How? When we forget about all Allah's blessings around us. When I wake up in the morning and say, today I am very sad, I am very upset, I am to the point I want to, you know, to kill myself. Why, Sister Mona, you have so big pain? Because my life is dark, because I have a lot of problems, because everything is not good, because I maximize my pain. Okay? But if I have the same problem, and this another person, and that person is believing in Allah's mercy, and you tell me, Sister Mona, or sister, another sister, you have the sister, for example, Celia, you have the same problem as Sister Mona. Do you feel the same pain, the same hardship? Celia say, no, at all. I didn't feel the issue so big as Sister Mona is, you know, maximizing the pain. So we ask her, Celia, why you don't feel the same amount of pain? She will say, because I always look around, I feel that I am healthy. I feel that I have a home. I feel that I have, you know, for example, a house. I have a car. I have a lot of blessings in my life. So the pain is part of all what I have in the worldly life. I have this pain, but plus a lot of Allah's blessings. So I always try to minimize my pain. Okay, when I try to evaluate it through all Allah's blessings. Okay, this is how you can be a lake and not to be a glass. Again, sisters, okay, now I am the glass and Celia is the lake. Okay, what I will win, who is the winner? Okay, when she believed that she must be a lake. Okay, this is what she believed in. And I believed that I must be a glass with every hardship. Whenever I will have a hardship, I will be very upset, I will be very sad, I will not be happy, I will complain from everything in my life. Okay, who is the winner? She is the winner of this life and the hereafter. And I am the loser of everything in this life. I lost my day. I lost all the enjoyment. I lost my, health, because I am always nervous and I am always not in the mood. I have high blood pressure. I have diabetes. I have a possibility of many other illnesses. Okay, I am not in a good mood with my husband, with my kids, with any person, because I am not in a good mood with myself or with Allah. I am not happy. I am not accepting anything in this bad life. Okay, most of the human beings are in this shape, and are in this, having this belief. But with the antidepressant, okay, it covers. The antidepressant always take the mood up. But inside the spirits is what I already mentioned. Not happy, not accepting, too difficult, too bad, too tough. What is this? Why me all the time is the one who had to face all these troubles? And because of that, sisters, mostly people are away from Allah.
I will. I attended the class at El Maqam Institute. It was the Thick of Women. And one of the questions was, can a man and woman have a friendship without any strings attached? And they asked so many people. They went to a university and they were asking all the men and women, "Can you? Do you think you can be friends without any attachments?" And most of the guys said no, and most of the women said, "Yes, I think we can be friends without." And then later on they asked him again, and I said, "No, we can't have a relationship without any strings attached."
Yes, you know, this is very strange. So, you know, sister, this is why we must all the time try to be close to Allah, to obey Allah, to have the manners of the Quran. Otherwise, we will be all lost. There will be no manners, no values, nothing, no discipline, nothing. Everyone can do whatever he likes, you know. Unfortunately, we'll be like the animals, to tell you the truth. And everyone now is complaining that, you know, I cannot find a sincere friend. Yeah. I cannot find a sincere human being. I cannot find someone who has mercy or someone who is, you know, treating me in a good way. Why? Why everyone is complaining? Why? Because we don't have any of the rules of the Quran or whatever. You know, now, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims, we're having the rules of the Quran, but still for those whom they have other religions, okay, still, you know, human beings now are moving away from any religious values. Forget about it completely. Okay? Life will be like a jungle. There will be no rules. So as true believers in the oneness of Allah, we must be all the time having the hope in Allah's mercy, looking for Allah to help us, having Allah in our life. Otherwise, if we feel that we are lost regarding our relation with Allah, we will be lost as human beings. We will forget about manners and values. We will look only for our benefits. Okay, on the bodies of anyone, none of my business. Okay, myself, and that's it. Okay, and this is the end of any good value over the earth. So again and again, sisters, as true believers in the oneness of Allah, we must be different. I must say to myself, I am different because I have the belief in my spirit. I am following the rules of Allah. I am looking for His mercy. I am never alone. Allah is always with me. We will stop here, inshallah, and next week we will start to learn about the names of Allah, the 99 names. Inshallah, we will have them over a series of classes. We will learn the names, the verses of the Quran related to it, and I will try to give you some stories also related to this, so that inshallah it will be a new topic, and let us make the dua. And also we will have questions for 15 to 20 minutes. Okay, so that inshallah we will have a change in the class. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Oh Allah, our Lord, it's